So, partly to say something while I have your attention, I want to say something really true and profound, something I hope you'll never forget, that you'll carry it with you for the rest of your life. What do you think of that as a setup? And what I want to say is that your body is always in the present moment. And if you take that into account, that can be quite profound, quite important. Your mind, in terms of what it's focusing on and involved in, and maybe even lost in, is only occasionally in the present moment. And what it means is that your body and mind are in two different places. And one of the ways of understanding this path of meditation is that we're bringing the mind and body together so they can cooperate, so they can be mutual, so that there can be a rich, meaningful interaction and relationship between them. And since the body is not going to be anywhere else but here and now, it's the task of the mind to help itself, to support itself, to maybe even lovingly guide itself to be together with the body, to be here in the present moment, to coordinate, cooperate, to harmonize, to connect to the body. And mindfulness, the awareness that we're cultivating, grows when it's at the meeting place of the mind and the body. In a sense, that's what awareness of the body is. Awareness is the bridge. Awareness is the meeting place where the body and mind come together. When you are aware of your body, there's a bridge, a channel, a resonance with your mind. And the body has a connection, a bridge, a resonance with the mind. So to begin this discussion today, or practice today, of mindfulness of the body, and to bring these two together, we'll begin with a little exercise that I'd like to do at this point in the retreat, and some of you have done this before. And I think that this exercise should never get old. It's always new things to discover. And the exercise is to bring your attention into one of your hands. Maybe with your eyes closed. Feeling the sensations of the hand. Feeling the different sensations that are there. And maybe there's tingling and vibration, warmth or coolness. Maybe there's the contact of the hand against some other part of your body. Pressure and weight. Maybe there are pleasant sensations, maybe unpleasant. Maybe there's a subtle ache. Or a subtle delight. There are the sensations of the back of the hand. The palm of the hand. And the fingers. And to be aware of your hand is to be aware of that meeting place of the mind and the body. And is your mind cooperating? Is your mind staying there with the hand? Or does the mind have other ideas? It's okay. But maybe this exercise highlights how the mind maybe is not so much in the here and now. And that's interesting. Maybe the awareness of the hand is limited by what the mind is doing, the attitudes of the mind, impatience or expectation or frustration or disinterest. Or perhaps the attitudes of the mind are supportive. Interest and curiosity. An openness to feel the hand. One way one willingness of the mind is to allow awareness to feel how the hand experiences itself. And sometimes the idea of hand recedes, falls away. And it's almost as if the hand has no edges. It's just sensations coming and going. It's the awareness that maybe floats between the sensations of the hand. Or you allow the awareness to gently just float between them, sometimes in the fingers. Sometimes it floats to the palm or the back. It floats to the temperature or the pressure, the weight. And if you allow your awareness to float between the sensations, if you allow the sensations to come and go as they do, maybe the sense of the edges of the hand, the idea of hand, becomes less important. Just the sensations. And then your attention, your awareness, to some sensation elsewhere in your body that's compelling or strong. It doesn't have to be the strongest or most difficult. But the same way that you brought your attention to the hand, bring your attention to that part of your body where sensations are most compelling or compelling enough. Sensations are always in the present moment. And what are the different sensations that come into play in this part of your body? And if awareness is the meeting place of mind and body, which side of that divide, that connection, do you live the most? Mostly in the mind? Mostly in the sensations in the body? Whatever you do, it's okay in a sense. What's good is to know it. And if the mind is able to recede a little bit, or the way the mind might make it a problem or a challenge or have ideas and attitudes, can you gently shift your focus more to the sensations of your body? And even if it's a small area where these compelling sensations are, maybe your awareness, your attention can float between the sensations there. Float between them. Some appear and disappear, and other ones come in. Maybe there's no clear edges to this part of your body. Ideas maybe recede in favor of just feeling the sensations, with the mind allowing them to be there. And now, calmly, float your attention to the place in your body where you normally experience your breathing. And in the same way that you felt the hand, feel that part of the body where breathing is felt. And not only the sensations of breathing, but whatever sensations there are in that part of your body. In the course of breathing in and out, there are sensations that appear and disappear, come and go. Perhaps you can float on those sensations like a leaf floats on the waves that come and go. Or the sensations float on the awareness that's like the ocean. The sensations of breathing become the meeting place of the mind and the body. If the mind keeps going someplace else, as it pulls away from breathing, notice if there's any tension or contraction in the mind. Any strong momentum somewhere else, into some attitude or as you breathe, as you exhale, and you relax your mind, soften, and relax into the breathing. So your awareness of breathing, the awareness settles in experience. The sensations of breathing. And mindfulness of the body occurs in the body's experience of breathing. And if, while you're breathing mindfully, there is some compelling sensation in your body, you could, if you want, float your awareness to that part of your body and practice mindfulness of the body there until you feel ready to come back to the breathing. Allowing awareness to be relaxed, easy with what is. If you're living more in your thoughts, can you relax the thinking mind? If you're involved in your thoughts, you're living in a divided world, separate from your body. Instead, see if you can live in the meeting place of mind and body. If you see that awareness can be the meeting point between mind and body, you might find also that awareness makes more room for the body, space for the experience. It wouldn't happen if you're preoccupied in thought. And you might also find that awareness also has more room for what's happening in the mind. Also because you're either not caught in the body experience or you're not caught in something specific in the mind. Awareness of the body gives breathing room for all things as they happen here in the present moment. When we bring ourselves to the place where awareness connects body and mind, sometimes we're more aware of the body, sometimes a little more of the mind. Sometimes floating back and forth, both sides. Until there is no sides. There's here and now that includes it all. While being rooted in the body, and as you hear the bell that ends the sitting, if you stay there, aware of the contact place between mind and body, as you hear the sound in your ears, simply knowing you're there, aware there, what more do you become aware of? How does that allow you to see more clearly what arises in the mind, what shifts in the body, maybe without needing to do anything at first, just hearing sound and noticing what happens? you all to the basic practice, if it feels suitable for you, is to have the experience of breathing at the center. That's the default. If you do that, you're in the body. And developing stability, mindfulness, present moment awareness through the rhythm of breathing in and out. Being there, floating there perhaps, under the different sensations that come and go with the breathing. Relaxing the thinking mind, settling into breathing. But when it seems right, when some other sensations of your body become more compelling, that you feel a pull towards them or a tension between the breathing and these other sensations, you can let go of your breathing and float your attention calmly, if you can, to these other sensations in your body. They become completely valid place for developing mindfulness. They're as valid as the breathing. And then, as we felt the hand, maybe that's a nice reference point for how to be with these sensations. And they can be pleasant sensations, they can be unpleasant sensations. You know, both of them can be what's held in the same kind of simple, open, mindful way, without needing to be caught up in for or against preferences, fixing, making it different. Just kind of feeling, sensing, being there. And as you do that, you might notice some of the reactivity of the mind. And that's part of the function of this practice, is to see that clearly. It's not a mistake that you react. But we learn to be wise about it. We learn to work with it, or maybe not give into it, or maybe let go of it, or to understand a little bit and maybe be mindful of the reactions we have. And eventually learning to how to be with physical sensations in the body with some freedom, just allowing it to be there, which is very wise, because a lot of the body is not just a hunk of flesh. The body is intimately part of the larger mind-body whole. And as you start to feel and make room and with mindfulness of the body, it allows for something to shift and change. And I don't want to say what that might be. It's for you to discover, and it's never going to be the same. It's always different in different circumstances. But something begins to change when you bring the mind and body together and hold the experience and awareness. And that's very different than if you're in the control tower trying to, and you decided what's supposed to happen. If you're in the body, connected to your body, I like to think that the Dharma knows what's supposed to happen. You don't have to know. And then you would kind of go along with it and be present and mindful. When something is no longer compelling, then you come back to your breathing. And be kind of relaxed back and forth. If something is difficult to be with in the body, one way that may be a little bit easier is to kind of reconnect with your breathing and then breathe through the strong sensation, breathe through the pain, breathe with it. And there's something about then the breathing helps us from getting locked in with our feelings, our attitudes, our reactivity. It keeps maybe things a little bit more fluid and relaxed. And it's a way of being with the difficulty that we're not so much get caught by it or excessively fixated on it or something. Just breathe through it, be with it. It's a way of kind of massaging it with awareness, being. And so mindfulness of the body. One of the ways to, you know, mindfulness of walking meditation is a kind of body practice. We're kind of cultivating heightened embodiment, sense of being connected to the body, aware of the body in walking meditation. And the more you get into it, or the times you do get into it, at the end of the walking meditation, you might want to see if you can stay close to it and to the body and connected, and then come back to your sit, carrying with you some of the embodiment, some of the connectivity to the body if you have it, so you sit down with it, as opposed to hearing the bell at the end of the walking period and just, you know, like you're just got up from the your chair in the movie theater to go get popcorn, you know. And you know, we get up and, you know, come back to the walking hall and so then in all this, there's one thing that you might think of doing if it feels right to you. As you go about to IRC during the day, whenever your activity you're doing, you might go about it at the speed of mindfulness of the body. Whatever speed keeps you connected to the body, so you're in the lived experience of your body. It's very easy to get up, and by the time you're at the steps, walking down the steps, even not before, your mind's already gone into your thoughts, ideas, your thoughts about tea, and, you know, will there be enough cups, and did they still have ginger tea, and maybe they're running out, and what do you do then? And you're by the time you get down the steps, you're in this whole tea world, hardly knowing that you know you're walking the steps, of course, but you're not really present for it. And then you're not connected to the mindfulness of the body. So to go around at the speed of mindfulness of the body is to go at the speed where you're less likely to drift off so far. Sometimes it's going a little bit slower than usual, and that just a little slowness kind of is a reminder, stay in the body. Sometimes if we, you know, pick up our speed, like we're going to get popcorn, then, you know, it's, you'll see very quickly you're in your mind and disconnected from what's happening here and now. So whatever speed that is for you, operating at the speed of mindfulness of the body as we go through here. And hopefully you enjoy that. And one of the hopes at some point or other that this practice leads you to a tremendous appreciation and valuing and enjoyment of the body, even sometimes when it's uncomfortable. There can be a real sense of intimacy and truth and something real about being here in the body. So we're starting the practice discussion today. For today's Tuesday, so it's for the people who signed up for Tuesday. And Inez is meeting people at what's called the house. Just if you look out the window here, you can see it's called the tree house. You go up back of the dining room and the pathway up, and it's the house that's right there. There's a kind of a chain link fence, and there's a wooden walkway along the side of the house, kind of goes along the garage and then back to the back of the house. And there's a step in it with a white strip, so be careful you see the step on the wooden walkway. And unless you're first, just wait on this side of the white strip, kind of on the garage side. You can walk back and forth there until the person in front of you comes out. Let them come out, make space for them, and so they're not crowded there or something. And then you can go up to see Inez there. And I'm meeting with people at the Bodhi deck, which is on the way there, and it's about halfway there. It's kind of right where all the periphery trail and the trail from the dining room up to the treehouse meet. It's right there on the side, on the right, and there's a canopy over it for the sunshade. And there just, you know, should be, I don't know, you can be, kind of out of hearing range, but in eye range of it. So the person ahead of you comes off the deck. You can then come up. And Mario Lane will be there with me today. And one of the most important aspects of training to be a teacher in our insight tradition is actually to come to these practice discussions and witness them and learn how those go. And a lot of my skill as a teacher, if I have any, comes from having had that opportunity when I went to teacher training and watching people. It's a tremendous learning opportunity. And that's through the generations now of teachers, that's how they get trained, is coming along the primary way. And so it's a gift you give to future generations, to many people in the future, for Marjolaine to be there and to learn. And we know very well that sometimes it's not appropriate for a teacher trainee to be there. Sometimes it's more private or more sensitive or whatever reason. We don't have to even know the reason. You're welcome to just say, ask, you know, for the trainee to leave, to not be there. And we consider that also a very important part of the training of a trainee. So don't feel like you're depriving them. it all comes together. So feel relaxed about it if you feel the need for that. And then probably a trainee will be kind of go away from, be in distance and come back for the next person. And if that person allows her to stay there, then she stays. If not, then does the same routine again. So hopefully that's okay. And I hope that you enjoy your day. And I can say something about the dishwashing, the hand washing at the meals. There is a second hand washing sink by the dishwashing area. So if you're at the front of the line, instead of waiting for the person who just went ahead of you to wash their dish, their hands right there, you could go over to the other one and wash your hands and come then to the buffet table. Unless the buffet table feels like it's getting crowded, you know, then hold back, because we don't want people to be too crowded there. But if it seems like there's space, you know, by all means, you can speed it up a little bit by going over there. So enjoy your day, and I'm looking forward to meeting those of you who I see this morning.